So we are beginning our journey into Lent, that journey to Easter by way of Good Friday, the journey to celebration by way of sorrow. We're starting a new sermon series for Lent. It's entitled Renewed in Mercy. And you've heard the reading, Matthew 4, 1 through 11, and I'm sure we're quite familiar with this story of Jesus in the wilderness. I want to use it, if I might, to set the space for our journey through Lent. So, let us dive in here, beloved. Lent always begins in the wilderness. Not in the comfort of our routines, not in the safety of our sanctuary, not in the noise of our crowded calendars, but in the wilderness, that stripped down, slowed down, a sacred space where God can finally get our attention. Let me tell you a little something. The wilderness is not God's punishment. When you find yourself in the desert place, then the wildernesses of your lives, they're not God's punishment. You see, the wilderness, as we see even in this story, is God's preparation. The wilderness is not where God abandons us. The wilderness is where God aligns us. The wilderness is not the place God sends us to be alone. It is a place where you learn to notice God who has been with you all along. Matthew says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He wasn't pushed or tricked. He wasn't trapped. He was led. Which means the wilderness is not a mistake. It's a meeting place. Let's say that again. The wilderness is not a mistake. It's a meeting place. But hear me. The wilderness is not where God disappears. It's where God becomes undeniable. Because when the noise dies down, when the distractions fall away, when the masks fall off, then the soul gets quiet. And that's when mercy can finally find you. So Lent begins with the same invitation Jesus received. Let the Spirit lead you into a space where mercy can meet you. Not the space of performance, not the space of pretending, not the space of I'm fine, but the space where you can breathe again, the space where you can hear again, the space where you can feel again, the space where God can speak to you again. Sometimes, hear me now, sometimes God takes us into the wilderness because it's the only place quiet enough for us to hear the truth we've been avoiding. So we step into this Lenten season journey. We step together. We don't step into it in sorrow. We step into a space. A holy space, a healing space, a mercy-making space, a space where God is already waiting, because before Jesus ever faced the tempter, before he ever answered with scripture, before he ever walked out victorious, he walked in the Spirit. And beloved, child of God, so do you walk in the Spirit. The Spirit is a place of honest encounter. Let's walk a little deeper into the wilderness scene, if you will, because Matthew doesn't just give us a location. He gives us a condition. He gives us Jesus, who is hungry, tired, stretched thin, worn down, a Jesus who has emptied himself so fully that the next voice he hears will shape the very steps he takes. Let me say that again. The next voice he hears will shape the very steps that he takes. Many commentators will say this whole moment feels surreal. It feels strange. It feels dreamlike, like something between a vision and a battle, something happening both around Jesus and inside of Jesus. Because the wilderness is where the noise dies down, the truth rises up. The wilderness is where distractions fall away and the questions get louder. The wilderness is where the masks come off and the real you steps forward. And let me tell us something. Let me tell you something. In 26, we need a wilderness for a whole lot of people. We're living in times where anxiety is an all-time high. Loneliness is epidemic. Trust is fragile. Truth is contested. Communities are strained. And faith feels harder to hold on to. We're scrolling ourselves numb. People are working themselves empty. People are praying with more questions than answers. People are carrying grief they never had time to process. People are wrestling with temptations that don't look like stones or temples or kingdoms, but like shortcuts, coping mechanisms, addictions, distractions, and self-doubt. And the wilderness exposes all of that, because the wilderness is not just a place on the map, it's a place on our souls. In that soul wilderness, there are same questions Jesus face us. Question: who are you when no one is watching? Who are you when you're hungry for affirmation? Who are you when you're tired of waiting? Who are you when you're tempted to take the easy way? Who are you when the enemy whispers you're not enough? Who are you when your own thoughts betray you? The text doesn't tell us whether the tempter was external or internal, and maybe that's the point. Because temptation doesn't care where it comes from. It only cares where it lands. Temptation always lands hardest when you're hungry for something, when you're tired of something, when you're running from something, when you're afraid of something, when you're pretending something. That's why Lent begins here, not in the sanctuary, not in the choir stand, not in the videos of music playing before us, not in the comfort of familiarity, but in the wilderness, because the wilderness is where we finally tell the truth about what pulls at us. Hear me. God does some of God's best work in those honest places. Not polished places, not perfect places, not unblessed and highly favored places, but in honest places. Because before God can renew you, God has to reveal you. Before God can strengthen you, God will strip away that which weakens you. Before God can send you, God has to settle you. Before God can use you, God will show you what's been using you. The wilderness is not the enemy. The wilderness is an x-ray machine. The wilderness is a mirror. The wilderness is a classroom where God teaches us how to be whole. Children of God, if you're in a wilderness season right now, you're not being punished. You're being prepared. It's the wilderness where our questions get louder than our temptations. When our temptations are where the truth are, the temptations are where the truth is tested. Because Matthew doesn't just show us Jesus hungry, he shows us Jesus who is human. Jesus is vulnerable. Jesus is exposed. Jesus stands at the crossroads of identity and of obedience. The temptations he faces are not random. They're not arbitrary. They're not spiritual riddles. They are surgical strikes aimed at the very heart of who he is. of who he is. Let me tell you something. The enemy always attacks identity before your destiny. Let's say it again. The enemy always attacks your identity before your destiny. Because if the enemy can confuse who you are, he can derail you from what you're supposed to be becoming. In 26, the identity is under attack everywhere. People are drowning in comparison. People are exhausted from performing. People are tempted to trade authenticity for acceptance. People are tempted to choose shortcuts over surrender. We are being tempted to build platforms instead of character. We are tempted to worship success instead of the Savior. So let's talk about how Jesus was tempted. You see, stones in the bread, the temptation of self-sufficiency. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Hear this. The enemy isn't just tempting Jesus with sin. He tempts him with self-reliance. He tempts him to meet legitimacy need in an illegitimate way. He tempts to use his divine power for personal comfort. He tempts him to believe that hunger is the problem instead of the place where God provides. Isn't that us? We can't turn stones into bread, but we can sure try to feed ourselves without God. We can try to fix ourselves. We can try to save ourselves. We can try to carry ourselves. We try to heal ourselves. We try to hustle our way out of hunger. But Jesus answers with scripture, not a weapon, but with a witness. We do not live by bread alone. In other words, I will not let my hunger drive me. I will let my Father feed me. I will let my Father feed me. In 26, when everybody is hustling, grinding, striving, and surviving, Jesus reminds us that dependence is not the weakness, it's the worship. Dependence is not weakness, it's worship. Satan comes back. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. This is temptation of visibility, the temptation of a spectacle, the temptation of proving oneself. The enemy says, make them notice you, make them applaud you, make them believe you by doing something dramatic. That's us in 26, isn't it? We live in a world where people are performing for power and likes and curating for followers and shaping identity logarithms, confusing attention with affirmation. But Jesus refuses to jump. He refuses to perform. He refuses to manipulate God for applauses. Because faith is not a stunt. Faith is not a show. Faith is not a spectacle. Faith is a steady walk. A steady walk with God. Jesus teaches us you don't have to prove who you are when you know whose you are. Let me say that again. You don't have to prove who you are when you know whose you are. And then we move to 3. The tempter says, all these kingdoms I will give you if you bow down and worship me. See, the temptation of power without sacrifice, influence without integrity, glory without the cross. The enemy offers Jesus a shortcut, a crown without a cross, a throne without suffering, a kingdom without obedience. Hear me, the enemy still offers those shortcuts for us today. Shortcuts in relationship, in leadership, shortcuts in ministry, shortcuts in our ethics, shortcuts in our calling. Because Jesus refused the shortcuts, because he knows any power that requires you to bow to the wrong thing will break you when you try to stand. Any power that requires you to bow to the wrong thing will break you when you try to stand. Jesus chooses the long road, the hard road, the obedient road, the cross-shaped road. Because the kingdom of God isn't built on shortcuts. It's built on surrender. is built on surrender. See, temptation whispers the same question. Every temptation, every stone, spectacle, shortcut, whisper in the name is a question. Will you trust God's way or will you take your own? When Jesus answers with scriptures, he answers with scripture not to win an argument, but to anchor his identity in the Father's voice. Because before the wilderness, before the hunger, before the temptation, Jesus heard the Father say, "This is my beloved Son." And beloved, that's the only voice that can silence temptation. And then at the end there, the angels, those angels come along. Now, church, I need you to lean in here, because this is this right here, this moment in this text is as commentaries would tell us, gives us a revelation we can't afford to miss. Matthew says, "And suddenly angels came and waited on him." Suddenly, as if they just popped up out of nowhere, as if heaven had been on mute, and then boom, angels showed up. Like a divine rescue squad. But I truly believe there's a deeper question. I want you to think. I want you to go with me and use your divine imagination. What if the angels didn't just suddenly appear? What if it was just when Jesus noticed them? Because sometimes the miracle is not that God shows up. It's that we finally slow down enough to see God who's been there all along. Now, think about that. The miracle is not that God shows up. It's that we finally slow down enough to see that God, the God who's been there all along. That preaches for us this year. Because we're living in a world where people feel abandoned, overlooked, underseen, undersupported. We live in a world where folks are carrying silent battles, mental health issues, financial strains, family tensions, spiritual fatigue, and they're wondering, "God, where are you in all of this?" Hear me. God's presence is not reactive. God's presence is constant. God's presence is faithful. God's presence is already in the wilderness before you ever got there. The angels didn't rush in after the victory. They were there during the struggle. They were there during the hunger. They were there during the temptation. They were there during the silence. Jesus didn't defeat the enemy and then get up and get some help. He got help the whole time, and by beloved children of God, so do you. See, the problem isn't God's absence, it's our awareness. Sometimes we're so focused on the fight that we miss the faithfulness. Sometimes we're so focused on the temptation that we miss the tenderness. Sometimes we're so focused on the struggle, we miss the support. We are surprised by God, not because God arrived suddenly, but because we finally became aware. Isn't that the truth of our lives? We look back on seasons we thought would break us. We look back and realize God was carrying us. We look back on nights where we cried ourselves to sleep. Lord knows I've done that more than one occasion. And we realize God was holding us. We look back on the moment we thought we were, we're the end, and we realize God was making a way. See, the angels are with us all along. The angels are with us all along. I know I'm going long here, but we got to get through this. We'll get through this. This is important. Let's bring this into our world in 26. Angels don't always look like celestial beings with wings and halos. Sometimes they look like a friend who checked on you at the right moment. Sometimes it's a therapist who helps you breathe again. Lord knows I know about that.
A church member who prays you through, a stranger who shows kindness when you're at your limit, a song that ministers you in the middle of the midnight hour, a scripture that finds you when you weren't looking for it, a community that refuses to let you fall alone. Sometimes angels look like people who show grace when you expected judgment. Sometimes angels look like mercy wrapped in human skin. And sometimes, hear me, sometimes you're the angel God sent to someone who else is in a, someone else who's in a wilderness. The wilderness is full of God's champions and companions. The wilderness is not empty. It's full of God's provision, full of God's presence. But you don't see it. If you're rushing, you don't see it. If you're numbing, you don't see it. If you're pretending, you don't see it. If you're trying to survive on your own strength, Lent slows us down so we can see what has been there all along. The angels weren't late. The angels weren't missing. The angels were not delayed. The angels were not dispatched after the dangers. The angels were already there. And so is God. And so is God. So let me close this out here. Because I started this thing out by saying our theme is setting a space for our Lenten journey. So now, church, after Jesus walks through the wilderness, he faces the temptations. And after he discovers the angels were there all along, the questions become for us, how do we step into our own Lenten journey? Lent is not just a season on the church calendar. Lent is a spiritual posture. Lent is a holy reset. Lent is a sacred invitation to slow down, to look up, to breathe, to walk honestly with God. And if we're going to walk this road with Jesus, we got to set the pace, not just in the sanctuary, but not just in the liturgy, but in our lives. So how do we do that? Let's walk through it. One. By creating space. Not more tasks, not more hustle, not more religious performances, but for more noticing. 26, our biggest spiritual enemy might not be temptation, it might be distraction. We are drowning in notifications. We are addicted to noise. We are overstimulated, overcommitted, underrested. We are scrolling our lives numb and calling it connection. We are busy but not present. We are active but inattentive. Lent says make room, make space, make silence, make some stillness, because mercy doesn't shout, it whispers. Grace doesn't force itself, it invites. Grace doesn't compete with the noise. God waits for your attention. Creating space is not about doing more for God. It's about making more room. It's about making room to see what God is already doing. Number two, by naming our wilderness honestly. Number two, by naming our wilderness honestly. Hear me. Lent is not about pretending. Lent is not about performance. It's not about putting a holy face where your heart is falling apart. Lent is about telling the truth. Where are you hungry? Where are you tempted? Where are you tired? Where are you pretending? Where are you hurting? Where are you hiding? Where are you holding on to something God is trying to heal? Because God can transform what we refuse to name. My beloved, in 26, people are carrying wilderness in their bodies and soul, the wilderness of anxiety, the wilderness of racial trauma, the wilderness of political division, the wilderness of financial strain, the wilderness of loneliness, the wilderness of spiritual fatigue. Lent says, bring it, name it, lay it down. God can handle your truth, because confession is not about guilt. It's about liberation. It's about aligning. It's about stepping out of the hiding and into the healing. Name it. Lay it down. God can handle the truth. Number three, by trusting mercy that meets us there. What does that look like? This is at the heart of it. This is the good news. This is about the shout in the wilderness. We gotta start doing more of that around here. They got about shouting the goodness of God. The angels are already present. The mercy is already moving. The companionship is already promised. You don't walk into Lent to learn God's mercy. You walk into Lent to notice God's mercy. You don't fast to get God's attention. You fast to give God your attention. You don't enter the wilderness to show your strength. You enter the wilderness to discover God's strength. Because Lent is not a journey toward mercy. Lent is a journey with mercy. Mercy walks with you. Mercy holds you. Mercy strengthens you. Mercy restores you. Mercy renews you. And when you set the space, when you slow down, when you breathe deep, when you tell the truth, when you open your hands, when you find mercy has been waiting for you the whole time. On this first Sunday of Lent, we set the space not to impress God, not to perform for God, not to prove ourselves to God, but it is to renew our mercy. We renew the mercy that has been there before. We renew the mercy that stayed with us in the wilderness. We renew the mercy that will walk us out of the wilderness. Because the mercy, the wilderness is not the end of the story. The wilderness is the beginning of the transformation. The wilderness is the doorway to clarity. The wilderness is the classroom of calling. Wilderness is the meeting place of mercy. So, church, as we step into this Lenten season, may your hunger lead you to God's provision. May your questions lead you to God's truth. May your weakness lead you to God's strength. May your silence lead you to God's voice. May your wilderness lead you to God's mercy. And may you discover in ways that surprise you, in ways that sustain you, in ways that heal you, that mercy has been walking with you every step of the way. And that, so let this mercy, this Lenten begin. This is our wilderness road. This is our renewal. This is our mercy. Thanks be to God. Amen.